Let's pray. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. We're reading from Parshat Noach this weekend, and it helped me understand that even God has to start over sometimes. And when God started over, he picked a man, Noach, and his family. And by doing this, God showed that he's still committed to the sons of Adam. And God is not ashamed to tell us that he started over. You could say that God has real grit. He has fortitude, commitment. He has character. Grit means you don't give up. You keep going, even if you have to go in a new direction in order to accomplish that thing which you are set to do. So God chose Noah, chose Noah's family, because they were people that God could start over again with and people who would keep the course. They were not perfect. They were faithful. They trusted God. And I've been thinking about them as I've thought about our move here, because in many ways, our move to our new synagogue here has that same combination of starting over and keeping on course. And I want to compare it, in a sense, to Noah's experience. After the flood, God gave Noah an assignment to him and his sons. He said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, or replenish the earth. And earlier, God had given that same assignment to Adam. So in many ways, even though it was starting over, it was the same assignment. So the situation was quite different, of course, but the assignment was the same. And this helps us understand that sometimes keeping on course means starting over. And starting over is necessary in order to keep on course. Now, let me speak to some of you who have been without jobs for a prolonged period of time during this difficult economy. It's important to keep on course, to hold on to the calling in your life, to hold on to the faith. Even if you've had to start over, even if you have gotten a new job, it's starting over, but try to keep on course anyway. Use your new situation to keep on course. Now, a few weeks ago, we faced a great challenge. I mean, not a life-threatening challenge, but it was a challenge nevertheless. For years, we had been celebrating Sukkot at St. John's Grammar School. The director there, Janine Decker, is a faithful, long-term member of our congregation. But when it was time to set up that Friday in the afternoon, the rains had super saturated the grounds. It was impossible to use the school. And that's when we saw something that I'm very proud about. Our congregation kicked into gear. You know, the temptation could have been, it's a mess, we can't do anything, we give up. Whenever you face a challenge, you can be tempted to do that. But we didn't give up. And people kicked into gear. Many people joined in the last minute efforts, and they moved the celebration to our synagogue grounds here. And then they converted the parking lot. And I thought, well, maybe convert's not a good word to use in a messianic congregation. But they converted the asphalt parking lot into a Sukkot zone. And so we built our sukkah there, we worshiped, we danced, we played games, and then in the grassy areas around the grounds, we had our picnic and we ate together. It was an all-hands-on-deck situation, and it was with great joy and commitment that we saw that Beth Israel has grown as a kehillah, as a community and a congregation, and as a mishpocha, as a family, and it was a fantastic Sukkot celebration. Everyone I saw was cheerful. All the people who had to do extra work were still full of cheer, and they were good-natured. They were enjoying themselves. We had all ages together, little children, old folks, and we kept on course. But keeping on course meant starting over. Well, the last few months, you know that I've been focusing on discipleship in our studies. And it's because discipleship is necessary in order to keep on course. But we need to take a fresh look at it, and have been studying for the last few months, and we'll continue to keep this in front of us. We've been studying this so that we can start afresh and have a fresh start here in our new synagogue and with the new opportunities that we have. We want to keep on course. We are keeping on course. We are a messianic synagogue. Tell the person next to you. We are a messianic synagogue. And we take seriously what Yeshua said about making disciples. We want to be good disciples, and we want to make disciples. We're called to be a home for Jewish people who love Yeshua and who want to raise their families in a Jewish community that's filled with people like this who love Yeshua. And we're called to study seriously. Say study seriously. I want to hear you. Study seriously. To live joyfully. Say that with me. Live joyfully. And to serve others as a community. Can you say that with me? To serve others as a community. We're not a school you go to and then you take a fill-in-the-blank test. We're a community of people who are called to live in a joyful way, to study God's word seriously, and then to serve other people and to serve the Lord. Now, our synagogue is very important here in Jacksonville because we have a calling to worship the Lord and to lift up the name of Yeshua and to do this as a Jewish community and part of the Jewish world. There's no other synagogue in Jacksonville right now that does what we do. There's no other synagogue in Jacksonville that walks on this calling. Now, don't get me wrong. I'd be happy if it were different. Let's say Eitz Chaim has a meeting next week. Rabbi comes to the congregation and says, I had a revelation. Yeshua is the Messiah. Let's say that happens. And they say, okay, let's be Eitz Chaim Messianic Synagogue. I'm in favor of that. How about you? There's room for more. Let's say all the Chabadniks. You know, they're praying, they're thanking God, celebrating Shabbat. And they have a revelation. Maybe our Rebbe Menachem Mendel Schneerson isn't Mashiach. Yeshua is the Messiah. If all of Chabad in Jacksonville decided to be Messianic, I'd say, hallelujah. Welcome to the Messianic Mishpucha. It would be a great thing, right? If every synagogue in Jacksonville became a Messianic synagogue, I'd be happy. But in the meantime, we have a call. We have a call to be faithful. No church in Jacksonville does what we do. No church in Jacksonville walks in this calling, and that's why we need to take time today and in the weeks to come to think about who we are, what we're called to be, and where we're going. And I want to give you something that I want you to call Operation Breakthrough. Can you tell the person next to you, Operation Breakthrough? Say that to the person. Operation Breakthrough. And as we're working on Operation Breakthrough, we're going to keep studying seriously, living joyfully, serving others as a community, and continuing to worship the Lord and lifting up the name of Yeshua, and we're going to break through in many areas. We're breaking through as a community, as we saw at Sukkot. We're breaking through like at Simchat Torah. Was that not fantastic? We saw it. Wasn't it fantastic having so many people taking turns carrying the Torah scroll or carrying the Haftorah scroll around the synagogue? I mean, there were moments when I saw people carrying the Torah and I thought, they're going to drop it. We're going to fast for 40 days. And no one dropped anything. There were some moments when little kids were carrying the Haftorah scroll. And I tell you, I thought it was bigger than the kid. And I thought just the sheer force of gravity is going to pull that child down to the ground. But those kids held on. They didn't let go. They were so filled with joy. And wasn't it great seeing the children and the teenagers gather around the Torah and help roll back the Torah scroll to the very beginning? Wasn't that fantastic? I was glad that adults helped. But I was thrilled that the children, the youth, were involved. And wasn't it incredible to celebrate right here in our new sanctuary, filled with light, looking out on the beautiful lake over there? If you ever get bored, just look in that direction. It'll bring calm to you. It was a fresh start, and yet we're keeping on course. We saw it this Thursday night during our memorial service for Dorothy Gordon. We honored Dorothy. We stood with Mike and his family as they mourned. We cried together with them. We worshiped together with them. We laughed together with them. And our mishpacha prepared a beautiful time of food and fellowship for the Gordons, their extended family, their old friends. We all worked together, and I want to thank all of you who took your precious time and who, with all your heart, pitched in together. I was very proud and very grateful at the same time, and it encouraged me that we're growing as a community, we're growing as a family in this way. And I want to connect this to Operation Breakthrough. We are ready to wrap up the details of phase one of our building program. And in a few weeks, we're going to complete this phase. Now, let me just warn you, we've got phase two that comes up next. And after that is phase three. Somebody last night said, and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And I said, yeah, probably. So there are many phases. We have to do this step by step. Originally, we wanted to do it all at once, but it was just impossible. It was beyond our means, and we decided to break it into phases. But we're ready to wrap up the last details of phase one. And in a few weeks, we're completing the phase. And in this last few weeks, all the lighting controls for the sanctuary that we still need are going to be installed. Do you see the stage lighting up there, the black lights? They're not connected to anything yet. They need to be connected to control so they can be turned on, dimmed, and et cetera. And then do you see the lighting around the perimeter, the cove lighting? Those require special dimmers as well, and they're in the process of being installed. These are the very last details of phase one. And when we do this, we'll be able to dim or brighten the sanctuary to any level we want for whatever we're doing. We can better match the feelings of our worship, our prayers. If we're having a concert, we can have a better atmosphere here. If we're doing drama or different presentations, dance presentations, we'll be able to do it well. And we'll be able to have light in the evenings or even in those overcast days that's bright enough but not glaring. Bright enough so you can read from your Bible. And do you know that's important to me? I don't want us to, like, turn off the lights and then you can't find your Bible. You'll all have to have digital Bibles then with backlights in them. So I want to ask you to join together so that we can make one final payment to our contractors in just a few days. And let me explain how we can do it. We need $15,000 to make the final payment for the contract work that's been done so far and to install the dimmers and the controls for all of our sanctuary lighting. Now, here's how we figured. Every month, we have at least 300 different people who attend our services and worship with us. Some months, we have 400, 500 different people. And if each of us, young and old, would give just $50 a piece, we'd have exactly what we need. And I know that for some of us, it's difficult to give that. For others, it's easy. So as a community, we want to pitch in together like we did for Sukkot, sort of an all-hands-on-deck situation, if you will. And some won't be able to give very much at all. That's okay. Think about what we did for Sukkot. We used to sell tickets, and then the problem was people who couldn't afford to buy tickets for their family didn't come. So this year we did something very different that was much more family-like. We simply said, can you donate what's in your heart to donate? And then everyone can come and everyone can be fed. And you know what? By doing that, we were able to cover all the costs and have more than enough so that everyone could participate. Every single person who wanted to participate was able to. So we want to keep that in mind. So some of you won't be able to give a lot. Some will be able to give more. But I want to ask everyone here to give something by the end of next weekend. Some maybe will give $100, some will give $1,000. But together, we can each do something that makes a difference. Now, I want to tell you a story about some doves that's connected to the Operation Breakthrough, is connected to our Torah portion. In Hebrew, we got some Israelis here. We've got Avi Mizrahi, we've got David over here at David from Netanya as well. So you guys just have to bear with me. You know, I come from Ashkenazi America. Okay, so the Hebrew word for dove is yonah. Okay? Okay. Yonah. Can you say that? Yonah. Say it a little louder. You were shy. Good. Yonah. Jonah. Yeah, English. Jonah. In Hebrew, male and female doves are both called yonah. Now, Anya, isn't it the case in Russian that all cats are female, grammatically? No? How about cups? Chachki? Okay, I'm getting into hot water here. Okay, well, help me out, somebody. There are other languages where what we would consider to be a neutral thing has a feminine or a masculine gender grammatically. So yonah can be used for a male dove or for a female dove, so just keep that in mind. So right now I want to speak to the men in the congregation for a moment, and the ladies, you can feel free to listen in. I want to tell you a story about what happened with Sandy and me this summer. We took a few weeks off for rest and restoration, and Sandy felt that the Lord had shown her that he wanted to give birth to something in the spirit during those weeks. So we went away, we stayed in a small apartment, and in the kitchen was a window. On the windowsill outside was a little planter, and then outside the planter and in the windowsill, there were some shutters that were partially open. And we saw a rock dove or a pigeon fly in and settle on the planter. And it got Sandy's attention. I didn't really care for pigeons, but she thought it was interesting. So she kept watch, and a very interesting thing happened. There was this bird there 24 hours a day. And we thought, how can it stay there the whole time? Well, it turns out it wasn't one bird, it was two. And that it was a nesting pair, a male and a female dove, who were nesting. Now, the way that these rock doves make their nests is really interesting. The male chooses a site in view of the female and then selects a branch or a stick and brings it back and lays it in front of the female dove. And the female, who's right there at the nesting site, if she likes the idea that this is a good place, she accepts the stick that the male brings, and then they start the nest with that, and then the male keeps going and gets more materials. So as we noticed, there was one stick, and then the next day there was another, and then another, and we saw the nest being built, and then we decided to learn more. Sandy started learning about doves. I decided I would learn about rock doves too. Guys, can you understand this? Your wife is interested in something, and so you have to be interested in it. How many of you guys, you know, raise your hand just a little bit so I can see that you know what I'm talking about. Okay, so I started because it was my duty to pay attention, but I actually became interested. And I noticed that what was going on was fascinating. We realized that it was an incredible thing. The male dove was actually doing his part. And he would sit on the nest for a full half day, taking care and warming and protecting the eggs. And the female dove would do her part. And together, they were there 24/7. Well, the day before we were leaving, I have to tell you this. A few days while we were there, the female lays an egg. The next day, she lays another egg. That got me interested. I started checking these doves, you know, like 10 times a day to see what was going on. And then we learned about the incubation period. So the day before we're leaving, the first egg hatches. And the morning we're leaving, the second egg hatches while I was watching. Because by this point, I'm interested. And I'm standing near the window, you know, trying to be in a safe position. And I see the egg break. And I see the little chick. Yeah, it's ugly. And its eyes are so out of proportion. It looks, it's so ugly. But the whole thing was beautiful. Now, a few days ago, Sandy was working on her online devotional, Seeing Things Now. And she came across the story of Noah and how the dove, Yonah, returned with an olive branch or a leaf in its mouth. And it really amazed me. In Genesis 8:11, it says, when the dove returned to Noah in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf or branch, and then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. Now, in times past, when I had read this, I assumed that this is just a female dove, because a lot of English translations say, you know, it was a her. And yet it is the male who goes and gets the branches and goes and gets the material for the nest, not the female. So what I understand is that it was the male dove who went out and found that olive tree and brought the branch back and showed not just Noah, but showed his mate as well. You see, how did Noah understand it? He understood that the water had receded. It's time to start over again for Noah. But the doves understood the same thing. It's time to start over. And I love that. I love that God gave not just Noah, but all the animals with him, the instruction to start over again and to fill and multiply and to renew this earth. So it really touched me. Part of what makes the story beautiful to me is it shows how the male and the female cooperate to build their nest. And I love the idea that the male dove provides the resources for the nest. And I hope, guys, this is why I'm talking to you, I hope that this inspires us guys to step up here in the synagogue and make sure that we do our part to provide resources and finances for our synagogue and for our families as well. So I think if all of us, if the guys, if the women, if the young, the old, even the children, if we can start taking that kind of responsibility together, we can all do this. Now, when I was growing up, I went to Jewish Sunday school. And at the beginning of each class on Sunday, every child gave some money to plant trees in Israel, to Keren Ami. And I remember when I was really young, I took 10 cents to every class, and I gave that. My older brother and sister were taking 25 cents. So guess what that meant? I wanted to take 25 cents. I wanted to do what I could. Now, it wasn't a lot of money. Can you agree? But together, every week, our small synagogue, the children in our small synagogue, were able to sponsor trees being planted in Israel. Every week of every year, year after year. And it just shows us something, that if we give with commitment and we give in a steady way and we give what's important, that we can accomplish far beyond what you could imagine. Even little children can do it. And that's why I think, parents, tell your children to join us in Operation Breakthrough. Maybe they'll give a quarter, maybe they'll give $50. Maybe they'll take some of their hard-earned money from their jobs or their chores, and they'll give. But encourage them to enter in so that they feel what we feel, that this is our synagogue and our responsibility together. Well, keep all this in mind as we begin Operation Breakthrough. After we make the final payment for phase one, we need to turn to phase two. And that's when we start our work on the community cafe, the fellowship center in the building next door. And aren't you going to be excited that we can use that additional space? It's going to be a community effort. We're going to have to work together on the finances. We're going to have to work together on the ministries that will be done through that extra space. It's not just for drinking coffee. It's not just for having an own egg for ourselves. It's for us being able to reach out and serve others with the good news and the love of Messiah. And we're going to have opportunities for volunteers to pitch in and do some work. So if you're game, we're game. And we are going to be sharing with you about the people and the resources that we need for the ministries. So we'll be keeping you informed. On Sunday, I'm going to send out an email to everyone here at Beth Israel who's on our communications list. If you haven't signed up for that, then you can fill out a welcome card today, even if you've been here for ages, and give it to us, and you'll get the email. We want to make it easy for everyone who wants to participate in Operation Breakthrough. And so today after services, you can give. We'll receive donations at the welcome desk in the lobby, check, cash, or bank cards. And then Sunday, you can also go online at BethIsraelNow.com or through the email. There'll be a button you can donate for Operation Breakthrough. And here's my goal, real simple goal, that all of us pitching in together, each of us doing our part, we'll have all the donations in by the end of next weekend. Not this weekend, but the end of next weekend, totaling $15,000 so we can make the final payment. And then we'll end phase one having paid off our contractors, no mortgage, no bank loans to them, pay as you go. It's been tough sometimes. We had a lot of resources, and then we had a lot of demand for what we were doing. So let me close by telling you something, reminding you about this. Your faithful giving of your tithes is what enables us to carry out our mission and calling and fulfill the assignments that God has given our synagogue. And your extra giving through Operation Breakthrough and in other ways helps us break through into the next level. So one more detail I need to make you aware of. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly today. Our original business plan for our new synagogue called for us renting our sanctuary on Sundays to a church, as we had done for several years. Many of you remember that Redeemer was with us for several years, and then they got their own place. And there's a real value in doing that. Part of it is financial, and the other part is spiritual. It's good to have different congregations sharing space. It sends a message that we can have unity and love and cooperation, even though we're different. And we're living in an era where there's so much polarization and so much division. It's important that believers find ways of standing together and just being nice to each other. Do you agree? But we made a decision. I think it was a good decision, but it hurt us financially. We made the decision to wait to get a church in. We had, there was at least one. There were several that were interested in coming, but we felt we needed to be here and make this our home. We needed to learn what is it like to live here. What's it like to take care of everything? And so we waited. We held off for several months. And I have to tell you, that decision to wait cost us quite a bit. And I still think it was a good decision, but it hurt us. So it's put us under financial strain. We did need that extra income. We will need that extra income just to pay for the extra space that we got here that we didn't have before. We're paying at a much lower rate than we did when we were in a warehouse setting. And now we're in a beautiful setting on a lake, very different. But we do need to have a church. And so we're looking for a church right now to rent to, and we hope to have one in place by the end of the year. That will help us in 2013. To function with a balanced budget, because we need a balanced budget, and we need to go beyond a balanced budget to where we have plenty to give to others. And we have more than enough to do all of the work that God has called us to do in reaching out to our people. So that will help us in 2013. And so I can tell you, by the time that church comes, start looking for new faces around here on Sunday. If you come through on a Sunday, you say, who are those guys? You'll find out, you'll know about it. Well, here's the thing. If you have a desire to help us with the gap that we've had in the budget, and you want to give extra for that, this is a great time to do it. And if If you have been meaning to catch up on your tithes, now is really a good time to do that. So enough said. I thought we could talk to you and give you, we want to be giving you more information about what's going on, what more of what's required of all of us, and give you more opportunity, not pressure, but clarity, so that all of us can move forward together and we can each do what we need to do so that we can see all of God's purposes accomplished for us. So are you okay with that? Yeah, a few of you are. The rest of you think about it. Well, I want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you want us as a congregation to break through. You're helping us break through in our outreach to the prisons here in Florida. Thank you for what you're doing through the prison ministry. You're helping us break through in our outreach to our Russian-speaking Jewish people here in Jacksonville. Thank you for what you're doing through that ministry. You're preparing us to reach out to the college campuses here and elsewhere in Jacksonville, and we want to thank you for bringing forth all that's necessary for that. There's so much more. Thank you for the way that we're able to feed people through manna from heaven. Thank you for the new ways you want us to start taking care of people that are connected to our community cafe and our fellowship center. Thank you for the new things that you want to do. And we thank you, Lord, that you can take what's not enough and make it more than enough. And we ask for more than enough. We ask for surplus and abundance. And we promise you, Lord, we won't hoard it for ourselves. We will spend it on behalf of your kingdom, that we could serve you and bring the good news of Messiah Yeshua and the love of Messiah to our people. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So thank you for your patience. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for taking time, extra time today to be with us. This has been a great morning, hasn't it? Great time together and a time of rejoicing and being built up. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And we want to greet a visitor today, chaplain from Lake City Prison. Can you just wave to us all? Glad to have you here. Let's welcome him. Thank you. You can be here with us. Yeshua said visiting the prisoners, that's one of the most important things you could do. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'nav elecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'nav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom.